Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Imagine that somebody wanted you to do something, but they weren't clear about what they wanted you to do. Imagine if this occurred in a foreign country, and the person who is speaking to you is someone who didn't speak your language. Sometimes we put our animals in exactly that kind of compromising position. We don't communicate our intentions to them. We don't communicate what we intend to do and what we consider a proper response to that. Instead, we just blunder on and give commands or make changes or suddenly do things to our animals pretty much without warning. We thought about it, that was enough for us. And so without any expression of intention, we go ahead and do it. And then when the animal doesn't obey the command or resists or otherwise makes it difficult for us to carry through on our impulse, we become angry and frustrated, more often than not at the animal than at ourselves. I use the word impulse because impulse is the opposite of intention. Intention is the foundation of all traditional medicine. And until the arrival of the problem-oriented approach with all of its algorithms and its diagnostic tests that replaced it, intention used to be the foundation of conventional medicine, too. This was summed up in the old saying, don't just do something, stand there. In traditional medicine, it was the image of the practitioner bowing his or her head over the patient, seemingly in prayer. But in the process of that prayer, in the process of asking for the wisdom and the skill to do this or that, that person was setting an intention. That person was getting it clear in his or her own mind exactly what he or she was going to be doing. And in the process of doing this, they were able to express this to their patients. Another place the idea of intention used to show up was stop, look, and listen. We all used to learn that. It wasn't the job of some guard or some barricade to keep us from blundering across a railroad track without paying attention. Our parents certainly taught us that about crossing the street. Stop, look, and listen. And that stop was the time necessary to think through what we were going to do. Were we going to stay there because we saw a car coming? Or were we going to cross safely because there were no cars? And then there was think and do. We thought first, and then we did. The gift of intention for our animals is critical. It's not about us just giving a command, or the very worst, giving the command after the dog misbehaves, or after the cat or the horse or the other animal misbehaves, and then blurt out a combination of conflicting commands like, stop that, no, down, sit, that just makes a bad situation worse. What's really interesting to me is that many animals are very good at this. Sometimes they're much better than people. Once you realize that they communicate with their behavior, with their body language, rather than verbally like we do, you can learn how to read them pretty well. Most of the histories I get on problem animals aren't related to crises that just suddenly occurred. When you get the whole picture, when you see the whole history, you can see where the animal was headed, what the animal was intending to do before it happened. But if we're not aware of the role intention plays in our interactions with our animals and in their interactions with us, we miss this. Sure, because I deal with a lot of animals with behavioral problems, I'm interested in this from the sort of negative side. But when we're aware of attention in our daily lives with our animals, not just when problems arise, then we can add a whole new dimension to the relationship. We can start to establish a new form of communication. Initially, you may have to tell your animal what you're doing, what you're thinking, what you intend to do. And that's okay, because that gets it straight in your mind, too. But after you get used to it, your animal will start picking up on your cues. And it's only fair to start picking up on your animal's cues, too, so that you can anticipate each other and ensure a quality life for both of you. So that's the gift for this week, the gift of intention. Doesn't cost a cent, but it pays big dividends in the end.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.